making it good. All of the time, we say to ourselves, I only want the best. We put up with far less than the best 90% of the time, but we say we only want the best. We only want the best wife, the best husband, the best children, the best mommy and papa, the best of everything. But you see, we really don't want the best. Our mothers and fathers say to us, now, make us proud of you. Make us proud of you. And what should they say?
Make
yourself proud of yourself. You see, if mothers and fathers would teach children this from early on, then the children would gain self-confidence. They would know that they are somebody for whom they should be proud. They are someone for whom they should take record, you know, and look at and say, hey, I'm worthwhile doing these things for me. Now, in the game of making it good, a lot of people have trained themselves to make it, you know, second best. They do it quickly and then as good as they can, as quickly as they can, and they're done. They don't realize that everything they do is a monument to them. Everything they do is a memento to them. Now, if you write a book, and in that book you don't give it your best, but you do pretty good. You don't check it over thoroughly after you've done it to make sure that it's as correct as it can be. Then the book goes to press, and out it comes, dated 1950, 1970, 1990, whatever the date may be on the book. And your children, or your grandchildren, or your great-great-grandchildren, or your distant relatives come into the picture. And they look at that book. Oh, look at the book that Cousin Eddie made, you know. Cousin Edie, or Eddie. Eddie's a guy and Edie's a girl. Okay, look at the book. It's got her name on it. Isn't that neat? Hey, let me look at that. It's published too. Wonderful. 3 editions. Hey. Then they start reading it. And they said, I wonder where she went to school. She has a whole different grammar than I'm familiar with. She has a whole different language than I'm familiar with. I wonder where she went to school. And then they read on, huh, they had different grammar and different spelling too. My goodness. So she tells us that her role in life is R-O-L-L, you know, like she's going to have a role in the clover. But it should be R-O-L-E because that is her game in life, her program in life. I wonder where she went to school. Oh, she went to Harvard, and she went to Yale, and she went to business school and so forth. My goodness, they didn't require her to learn much when she was in school. This is something. Oh, I know. It must have been the printers. It must have been the publishers who put this out and didn't do a good job. You know, they didn't proof it properly because she just gave them her perfect manuscript and they didn't do it right. But they always doubt. Now, that's going down the line. Now, are they going to recommend that book to others? Are they going to say, oh, you should read Andy's book. It's so interesting. It's so beautiful. All of the flaws in it are going to keep them from the content. Now, if Sister Kate could read to Cousin Edie the book, and Sister Kate reads it knowing that she can amend it as she goes along, so wherever there's a misspelled word, she read the book first, the chapter, and then she knew what Aunt Edie meant. And so then she read the correct words in there. And also she read the correct grammar in there. And then Cousin Kate says, my goodness, Aunt Edie was such a marvelous mind, the genius of ideas that she expressed so beautifully, too. Now, she doesn't know that there were a lot of errors in the book because the book was read to her. She only thinks, my goodness, genius runs in our family, doesn't it? You know? And so then she takes this book and touts it around, and other people snicker, because they're not as generous as the reading that she had of the book. You see, making it good is a very important thing that we must do. And we have to make it good so that we don't ever allow ourselves to be seen as being not perfect. Well, you say, well, Herb, in the art and science of wholeness, there were a lot of errors. And I say to you, there were? Yes. Where were they? I'd have to read it again to tell you. You mean you didn't mark the errors? Well, no, I just wanted to go for the content. I said, well, then why did you mention the errors now? Was the content so lacking that you had to mention the errors because the content was lacking? And, no, the content was good, but the errors were something that we want to amend for a future edition. That's great. And you should mark them the minute you see them. The minute you see them, you make a pencil mark around it. So when you go back, you'll find it. Because you may not find it the second time through. Because the second time through, you've already embraced the philosophy, and you don't look at the spelling, you don't look at the grammar, you don't look at those things. And the third time through, pretty soon you say, my God, that's an ultra-perfect book. There's not one single mistake in that whole book. He meant to say the things in the way that he said it, and he meant to spell them in the way that he spelled it, you know. You become very generous as you read it again and again and again. Now, just imagine what happens to the students who read it three times a day and 7 days a week. What do you think happens to them? Do you think they see the errors in there? Not one little bit. Do you think they see the ideas expressed in there? Totally. If any student comes up to me and says they see the errors, I know they have not read it three times a day, 7 days. I know they have not done it as it's designed to be done. I know that it is not done. And if it's not done, what happens? They don't get the benefit. You don't make or break the book. You don't make or break the university. You don't make or break your family. But you do make or break yourself by your application to the program, exactly how the program is written. If you don't do the program exactly how it's written, exactly the way it's designed, you lose. You lose. It's just like saying Heidi. She's sitting there, and her grandfather says, milk the goat. And he doesn't give her any instructions. And so she's working at it. She says, now, I saw Grandpa doing this, and he did this here. Now, well, what does that? Nothing comes out. You know, nothing comes out. She points it toward her face. Whoosh! Ooh, it's warm, you know. And so, now, are you going to say that her failed efforts are bad? Her failed efforts are not good? Her failed efforts and her perseverance made her into the person that she was. She was able to milk the goat. Now, what her grandpa didn't tell her about was where the cream is. Now, do you know where the cream is? Where is the cream in the goat? It's the last bit that's coming out. It's the thicker stuff. The thinner stuff, the milk, comes out very easily and very quickly. But then you have to take your fingers and reach in up over the top of the nipple and then pull it down so that all that cream comes out. And then you bring that on down. That's the rich part of the milk. That's the vitamin part and the hormone part. And that's really the great part. But that's work. First you go sliding on down, you know, taking what comes, the easy stuff. And then you go up on top and you bubble it in, and then you hold it down and you bring it down until that nice rich cream stuff comes out. And that's great. That's why the little goats, the baby goats, are up there sticking their nose way up in there to bring out that cream, you know. They like the milk, but they love the cream. But that cream's got all that rich stuff in it. Well, now, if Heidi hadn't been left to her own desserts to discover how to milk the goat, and without her perseverance, she would never have learned that wonderful lesson. What was the lesson? The lesson was, though it seems tough and though it seems impossible, it does work. So I must be doing something, I must be learning how to do something to make it work right. So, I am not saying that we design the textbooks of the University of Healing to have errors in them. I am saying that the errors are a perfect indication to me of where the students are. I had one girl, she and her husband came up to the ranch and they brought 8 or 10 people along every Sunday. And we'd hold Sunday services under the trees or at the waterfall or all sorts of nice places, just had a nice time. But she was a feminist and she wanted to rewrite the book in the form which was not
offensive.
Yeah, she wanted it to be including the feminine, he, she sort of thing. And she didn't realize that the word he, she means homosexual. And so, you see, all these words that we're used to having to be perfectly ordinary have now taken on new meanings. And that's okay. The new meanings are good too. But when we fight for something, can you imagine a feminist going up to the Bible and saying, won't do, we have to rewrite this? Can you imagine that? It's true. Because everything is he. God is he. All of the Jesus in the Bible are he. And all the big wheels are he. The women were laying at the men's feet or doing what they're supposed to do. Very few women who came across great. Ruth and Naomi and a few of the others, the wife of Abraham, Sarah, and a few others. Why did Sarah come through as a noble being? Quickly.
Because she was noble.
Because she
had a
baby at an old age. She had a baby at an old age. Now, what's the big deal about that? It's just that her organism worked, huh? Mm-hmm. You know, the equipment worked. So, I mean, what's the big deal? You see, that's part of the feminist movement coming into the Bible. I wanted to show this. Now, let me ask you, who wrote the Bible? Was it a man or a woman?
Man.
And what did Eve do? She made trouble. She gave Adam an apple, remember? And kicked him out of the Garden of Paradise and put him out into the world. They took him out of heaven into hell. You don't remember that? My goodness sakes. Eve was just a terrible monster according to the Bible. According to the first chapter, what happened? There was no Adam and Eve, but what happened?
All is good and very good.
No. God created man and woman at the same moment, neither one being different from the other except in their body. Interesting, huh?
Nice.
And that's what it says. Yeah. Now, whoever went on from there had to get imaginative. And as they got imaginative, they told the stories of keeping the people in line, keeping them in order to follow the rules. But think about it. What if you were writing the Bible? Say, for instance, you didn't have to write the Bible because nobody had to do anything in those days, remember? They didn't have to do anything. If they want some food, it was right there. They want clothes, it's right there. If they want a place to sleep, they got it there. And What's the case about Eden? What's the case about Eden? La da 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 da. It never rains before sunset, you know, and the snow never falls before Christmas in
Camelot.
Thanks. And da 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 in Camelot. Well, that's the Garden of Eden. That's the Garden of Eden. And you see, these are all quite beautiful things. Now, who should be writing the story of the Garden of Eden? Who should be writing it is someone who wrote for Camelot. You got to get a little more imagination in there. But why did they write the book of the Old Testament like they wrote it? Because it had to be a threat. It had to be a put down. It had to keep the people in line. It had to say, if you don't behave, things are bad are going to happen to you. Now, is there anything in the Bible and this is a terrible thing to say, is there anything in the Bible, is there anything that Adam and Eve told to their kids that said to them, Cain, you shouldn't kill your brother Abel at any time. He may bug the living daylights out of you, but you shouldn't kill. Did they ever say anything about not killing somebody? Did they ever say that they should kill or they shouldn't kill?
No.
And what was Abel? He was a gardener. What was Cain? He was a herdsman. He took care of his sheep and what have you see?
Mm-hmm.
And for him to kill a sheep and bring it in for dinner was nothing. So the death of a living substance like that was not bad. And Abel would bring in all the veggies. I guess Abel was probably a vegetarian and Cain was a meat eater, you know. But, you know, I mean, these sound funny. These sound funny, but these are quite likely true. Now, make your stories good. Make your stories logical. Make them reasonable and have fun with them, because this is what the game is all about. The game is all about amusing your fellow man. If the game worked for amusing your fellow man, would you do that for yourself? Would Anita go outside and be very cold and not want to put on her clothes because she didn't want to put it on? Or would Anita go outside and if it's cold, she put something on? If it's warm, she didn't. Would she live for herself, or would she, well, what would people think if I put clothes on and I say I don't wear clothes up here, and then and here I am, you know, wearing clothes and stuff like that, right? What would people think? Yeah, I have an image to maintain here, you know. I have a picture to pose for myself, you know. Now, have you been in the Shangri-La? Have you been in the Citadel? Have you been in the Oasis? And have you gone to each calendar for May and turned it over to June?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's now June. It's June 1st now. We can make it good. We can do. Why would you turn over the calendar in the Oasis?
Not June, really. Because nobody else is.
No, you would turn it over if you went down there and you're going to be working down there.
Mm-hmm.
Or living down there. And then you want it to be the right month. Otherwise, does it concern you the calendar's not turned?
Not at all.
Not at all. Now, here's another thing. Does it concern you that Ellen's calendar's not turned over?
No.
What about you, Ingeborg? Does it concern you that my calendar's not turned over? Not very interested in me, are you? That's true. It's of no.
I turned over this one here.
Yeah, it's of no account to you about somebody else's calendar, you know. It's only account to you of what you have in your office and how you're doing it. And I have the embassy down there, and there are five calendars down there. And so I went around and changed all five calendars to June, because today is the 1st of June.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm making it good, and I'm having a lot of fun. It doesn't bother me at all. If I come up here and I see your calendar is misdirected, it doesn't bother me at all. I just think you're trying to hold back the year, you know. Save time. Okay, that's what making it good is all about. And it's having a lot of fun and doing things that please you and delight you. You.
For me.
For me, yeah, for each of us individually. Mm. For each of us individually. But if you say, and this is what you have to be very careful of, and if you don't say this carefully, you're going to get in trouble. And if you get in trouble, don't blame me. Okay. If you say, I am going to kindergarten, okay, and then you don't cooperate with the kindergarten program, you should have said, I don't want to go to kindergarten. But if you say you're going to kindergarten, you're going to cooperate. You say you're going to art school. You got to cooperate with how they teach you to be an artist. And just be a proper artist. So if you're going to go to music school, you got to practice the scales and do these things that you have to do there. If you're going to be Mozart, and you play it without practice or anything else like that, okay, go for it. But how many of you can do that? Why don't you sit down at the piano right now and just play off a rhythm? But you can't. You may know one or two that you learned, you know, chopsticks and something like that. But otherwise, not. Always be yourself and have fun. Always follow whatever program you have established for yourself. If you said that you wanted to be a musician, then follow the program to be a musician. If you want to be a father or a mother, follow the program that leads you there. That's what it's all about. So, making it good. Anything you do, make it good. Because you all are very good. I love you. 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 I love you.